World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, I think I'm a little bit rested. I thought, you know, I went through a week. I've been through about 15 days. It just seems like to me it's been one thing after another after another. And spent this last weekend. Where was I? I was in Pennsylvania, out in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. Had a wonderful time. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I got home yesterday. My wife made me go out on the boat with our grandkids, and I caught my breath a little bit. Yeah, we got a boat. We got a pontoon boat. I'll tell you the story about that sometime, a pontoon boat on Buckeye Lake, and was able to sit back and kick back for, you know, it's really been almost 3 weeks since I've been able to just kind of settle down and say, God, I got 3 days ahead of me. Don't have a whole lot to do. Listen, I'm not bragging. I'm not trying to sound important. I'm just telling you the truth, you know? So we just got back from New Orleans and got back on Friday, literally Thursday evening on and I had to go Friday to Pennsylvania. Now, I cheated. I called Bobby and the guys that organized out to say, listen, I can't make it Friday. And I got up about 3 o'clock on what would be Saturday morning and drove about 6 hours out to Pennsylvania and had a wonderful weekend out there and drove back home. And thank God the car ran well and everything was good and got home and slept like a rock last night. So getting my feet back under me a little bit. Now, real quickly before I forget, if you're watching this show right now on YouTube, God bless you. Thanks for being there. But I want you to know this. Right now, we're going to move off of YouTube. If you're watching this right now on YouTube, now listen to me. We are one strike away from being banned forever on YouTube. One strike. Meaning I say the wrong thing or you say the wrong thing or some whatever. YouTube, we have one strike left. If we get banned on YouTube, we will never have our YouTube channel back again. We use our YouTube channel for other stuff other than broadcasting the show. So if you're watching YouTube right now, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do this, okay? You need to hang up. You need to cancel yourself out of YouTube and go to CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. It is streaming live there. And they will never be able to pull it down. So I'm going to say this again, because here in a minute, one minute, start the clock. We're going to unplug from YouTube. We're going to stop streaming on YouTube. So if you're watching this right now on YouTube, I'm telling you, go to CoachDaveLive.com and you will get the same program and they'll never pull us down. Does that make sense out there? Everybody understand what they do? Coach, hey, Spencer, I'm sorry. I'm not even looking at it, bud. Can you pull up Coach Dave Live right now? Maybe you already have. I'm trying to find it. Put it up on the screen because I pinned myself to the screen. Let me unpin myself and maybe that'll help. Okay, there we go. Okay, there it is, folks. You just go to CoachDaveLive.com and it says join the queue. You can do that or you can just watch it. You can just watch. There I am. Just watch it at CoachDaveLive.com. And then I can speak the truth, say whatever I want to say. Don't worry about some YouTube flunky saying that was against community standards and being gone. Never, one more strike, we're dead on YouTube, okay? So I think I got about 10 seconds. I'm going to do a countdown, and then we're shutting off on YouTube. So if you want to continue to follow us, go to CoachDaveLive.com. Now, at CoachDaveLive.com, you can join the huddle, so you can come in here and talk, discuss it with us if you want to. But if you just want to watch it, which is what some of you are doing right now, CoachDaveLive.com. So let's take a minute and give all of you a chance to make that switch. And starting right now. Go ahead and shut it off. We'll see it. See you at CoachDaveLive.com. So while all those people are shutting off, I don't want to talk about anything that they're going to miss. Somebody got something for the good of the group while we wait on those folks to come rolling back in? Because there'll be some of them that'll drop off and come back. Let's give them a minute to get in there.
Coach?
Yeah, Silver's got his hand up. Go ahead, Silver. I'm sorry. Hang on.
I was going to say that the way you described that, it's just, use YouTube to come to the show. Okay. And then shut YouTube down. And then.
Well, but Joe, I wouldn't use YouTube to come to the show. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com. We're always right there. You get the same feed, the same feed that you get at YouTube. Same feed.
You get it faster.
And you get I've never used YouTube. I've never used it. Not one time.
A lot of people do, Randy. A lot of them do. And so we're trying to break that habit. And so if Jared reminds me, we'll do this every day at the beginning of the show to drive people to CoachDaveLive.com. Cool? All right. So Jeff Klein, you want to jump in?
Coach, just want to let you know, we went over Friday night to listen to Pastor Greg, that Bikers Church. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever been over there?
No.
They had a big tent. It was like a 60 by 100. They had over 500 people there. This place where they filled the fields with cars. They rocked this place. And they mentioned Friday night, we're going to check it. I got to figure it out. But they're going to have that Canadian pastor in to speak. Somewhere in the next week, right here in Ohio. I think right there, but I'll check it out. But it's a happening place. They got Saturday night church down there. So we're going to go down and visit them. One of the next couple of Saturdays, we're going to go down.
Where is it, Jeff?
Right off of 70 there, just outside of Zanesville. There's a big billboard out there that says something Bikers Church. It's huge. They did a whole weekend event.
We need to connect with them, man. We need to put those guys in the game.
Oh, yeah. We were talking to some of them. They are fired up, buddy.
All right. Good. Rachel. Come on in, Rachel.
Good morning, team. I just want to say you're not worth your salt if you haven't been kicked off of YouTube. Everybody that I used to listen to who was speaking truth has been banned from YouTube, or they've done what you done, just leave the site up and have gone to a different platform. So just know it's a club.
It is. And here's a good thing. Jared has captured all of our videos and everything we've produced between Jared and Gary Pierce. We have it all. We own it all. It's on our website now. So I really don't need YouTube anymore, other than people are just programmed to go there. John, come on in.
I just want to comment earlier. I think it's last week you said something about you're tired from being on the road and out on the front lines. I concur with that when I was active, now I'm 74, when I came home from OSA events, it took me 3 days to get back to fight with a heavyweight Fox boxer.
Yeah. Listen, I got to tell you, I love doing it. We had a wonderful, okay, I'm assuming everybody's back with us. We had a wonderful time in Pennsylvania. And I want to salute in particular Bobby Lee, of course, and a Pennsylvania Brett and his wife Tanny and others who the crowd wasn't as big as what we expected. But we had a meeting on Sunday morning of a gathering of some guys, I think really, really began to bear a lot of fruit. Folks, listen. I know I've said this before. I know you don't get it. All politics is local now. It's all local now. If you think that we're going to make any changes in Washington, D.C., if you think that anyone running for Senate, Congress, whatever, if you think they're going to make a difference for you, it'll be years before they do. It'll be years. So let's say we elect a bunch of brand new people to Congress and they go in there all rookies. Well, you know what the rookies get to do, right? They get to spend all day raising money. They get on the phone, they raise money. Because they're being initiated into the club. So the first year is a waste. The second year is probably a waste. And then they're up for re-election again. So any change that we think that we're going to make, unless it be somebody like Ocasio-Cortez, see, she was anointed. They immediately anointed her. She was given prominence on purpose by the powers that be. You understand that, don't you? She just didn't all of a sudden come in there and turn the world upside down. No. She was anointed to come in there because she's carrying a message that they wanted to use. So we've got to be smart enough to understand, yes, we have to begin to try to get better people in Washington, D.C. But in the meantime, we have to begin to work locally. And that's one of the things we spoke with the group about yesterday. And that's why I salute Brett and Bobby and the crew trying to pull that together to understand the many different ways that we can begin to win locally. That's where it's coming, friends. That's where it's coming. And we overwhelm them if we get some victories locally. So, Bobby, I don't know if you're even in here this morning. I don't know if you had anything to add on that. I had a great talk with Pennsylvania Brett yesterday.
Yeah, I'm here, Coach.
So it was productive, was it not, Bob?
It was.
Hang on, Bobby. Listen, folks, look at me. It's not about numbers. At least initially, it's not about numbers, all right? So we all get caught up in numbers here. I only know six people. Oh, good. Start there. Because those six people all know somebody, and then it becomes 12, and then it becomes 18. So don't be – I always tell everybody that Salt and Light Brigade in Texas began with six of us. Now Chad needs a bigger house to get everybody to come when he has one of his meetings. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, it was, and we continued for a long period of time after you left. People want to know what to do. And a lot of the issue is people are – concerned about their own lack of experience or lack of knowledge. And I told them, take what percentage of knowledge you have and run with it. Just punch something. It doesn't matter. You'll learn from other people as you go. And people need to be tasked with things. We need to be proactive and go into these meetings locally like we're always screaming. So we had a hardcore group there yesterday, and we're ready to go out and be Gideon's army.
Amen, because it's not going to happen top-down, friends. It's just not going to. I got some good information I want to share with you here if we can real quickly. I got up on the screen some things I want you to be aware of. Upcoming events. Is this at the beginning? Okay, Bobby, go ahead and talk a little bit about your brigade preparedness thing there in Millersburg on July 10th, Bob.
Yeah, the weekend of July 10th and 11th. Chad's coming up here from Texas. He's going to focus on tactical training. P.A. Brett is working on squaring that place away. It's going to be a great place for all of us to engage, fellowship, and learn. I'm going to lead punching and striking training, and we're all going to work together to put on a first-class training event to give you skills of situational awareness and knowing what to do before you get to problematic issues. Just right before this show, I saw another video of a driver plowed into the crowd in a city and literally getting pulled out and beat almost to death. This mess has to stop, and it starts with thinking, making good decisions before you get there, and then what to do after there that's also intelligent. So you have to be there. And one last thing, we got a cost, a price on this that's affordable for anybody, okay? You're just not going to get this kind of price anywhere else in the world with the – so it's $100 per person, $135 per couple, and if you register before the end of this month, you get $10 off. We don't know how much longer we're going to have time to meet in huddles or learn skills from other people that know certain things that we don't. We have to take advantage of these opportunities now because things are getting hot and heavy in the world.
Amen, Bobby. And again, friends, real rich fellowship. That's why it's so important from my standpoint. July 30th, I'm sorry, 23rd, we're up in Wisconsin. Folks, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. Mike Spalding's Go Therefore conference is on July 3rd. Go to CoachDaveLive.com and check out our events, okay? We got a lot going on, and
Yes, sir.
Jason, yep. Awesome.
Well, amen. Listen, everybody, let me see here in the morning. And I'm sure Coach is going to get to it. You know, the investment, you know, is sometimes do we think it's worth the cost? And let's go back to just two weekends ago. Well, I guess it was last week, actually. What transpired here in New Orleans? I'm just telling you from talking with Tony, inside to Chief Justice Roy Moore, that whole conversation in that sphere circle in that courtroom, we did not expect a victory whatsoever there. We did not expect any favor. We heard that the courts were very hostile. And I know people say, well, they really didn't make a decision. Yes, they did. They ruled 3-0 to basically tell the lower courts to examine this through the Constitution and through prior Supreme Courts. Let me tell you, this was a slap in the face to the lower courts. It was an absolute victory. What you saw this morning when I woke up, I saw the hospital in Houston. That was a huge blow. Now, they got to continue to fight. You know what? This is the thing. I have been around, and I can tell you right now, it's 25 years working through pro-life legislation. We have taken blow after blow after blow of defeats, I'm just telling you. But you know what we've never done? We never quit. We never quit.
That's what you said, Joe.
Silver, you're unmuted. And so we continue to fight. And so what people did, when you guys came in, let me tell you what, those people knew that you were out in the park. You made a statement. It was an incredible victory for Tony Spell. I've got a lot of stuff on my line about it. If you're not connected, I do plan on talking with Tony this week, because then the question is, what do we do next, Tony? We can't listen. This is one of the things the church does is we got a victory, and then we don't do anything. Let me tell you what, Nora, you don't win battles with just one victory. You keep going until we knock things like homosexuality back in the closet. This, I look and I see Jared behind you there, Spence, and I think about Jared, who served in the Marines. And we look at Memorial Day, it gets one day of celebration, and then you come on with the perverted gay pride, whatever you want to call it, 1 month of that. That's ridiculous here in America. So I want to open up questions specifically for what transpired in New Orleans until Coach comes back.
Dale, I listened to the court hearing. They not only danced around the Constitution, they refused to hear about the Constitution.
What do you mean? In the courtroom?
Yeah, in the courtroom when they were giving questions on past cases and standings and stuff like that. Not only they're not going off the First Amendment.
Well, here, okay, y'all ready? This is what I did. I did this yesterday from my opening point in my message on Sunday morning. Now, there's 117 people in here. And what I want you to do, I just want you to pause. Just stop what you're doing. Don't be texting the messages. And I'm going to ask you to think about three things that are important to you. I don't need anybody telling me. I just need you to think about three things that are really, really important to you. Okay. So now, Spence, once Coach comes back in, man, just kick me down and kick me off. We're good to go. So I asked that question. Huh? I'm sorry? Okay, so we're gonna take questions in a second. All right, so check this out. This is what you need to use. This is so stinking simple. A five-year-old can do it. When you ask somebody, especially those of the faith, those three questions, they're going to give you answers like this: God, family, and friends. And I say those are pretty doggone good answers. And I hear some people say family, God, friends, whatever you want. So the reason why I say that is when our founding fathers were establishing the Constitution of the United States, they didn't just sit down and spitball and say, hey, let's just throw a few of these things out on the table and you know, we'll put together, we're building this new country, so let's just go ahead. These were intelligent people. Do you know that the highest intelligence in American history was during the time of the Revolution? These men were super intelligent. And so they got together and they decided – these things are important, and therefore let's make them law. And so when you look at the Bill of Rights, which is the opening first 10 documents, laws that our land would be governed by, and you go to number one. And when you ask people, what does the First Amendment say? Most people will tell you freedom of speech. No. See, our founding fathers, when they wrote this and they were articulating this, and they, you know, it's not that speech was not important. Matter of fact, it's one of the number ones. The opening line of this, of the First Amendment tells us how important the everything, you know, we look at Jesus, we got the church, but Jesus is what? The cornerstone. He is the foundation, the cornerstone. And how does the First Amendment read? It opens with this, the most powerful, powerful thing. It says, Congress shall make no laws. Right there.
Amen.
Congress shall make no laws in the establishment of a religion, nor the free expression thereof. That was so important to these intelligent men that when they were writing laws, they didn't say, hey, you can't murder somebody, or you shouldn't steal from somebody, or hey, you got freedom of press, or you got freedom of speech. Uh-uh. They said that your religion and your expression and how you worship was the most critical and important thing in America in law. And so what have we done to it? We have shunned it. When governors come out and say, governors say that we're non-essential. Hey, there he is. Governments say that we're non-essential. And let me tell you what, the church became non-essential when it began to play church instead of being the church. All right, I'm turning back over to Coach Spence.
I don't know what the heck happened. Can you hear me okay? All right. All of my power, well, in the studio, all the power just, boom, it was gone. Now, I had lights all around me. We got power in the house. But the internet went down, the studio lights went down, yada, yada, yada. So I've run outside here doing it on my back porch. Bear with me a bit here as I try to get my feet back under me. Dale, I felt like you were in the middle of something and I interrupted it. Didn't mean to do that.
No, one Coach, you did not interrupt. Let me tell you what happened, Coach. Immediately, fumble on the field. Spence called, pick up the ball, right? That's what a coach does on the sideline.
That's
pick
right.
up the ball and run. Brother, I just picked it up and I just ran with it, and it was
okay,
good.
Okay, I wasn't worried about it. I knew somebody would pick the ball up and run. I got a couple things that are really important. Okay. Be with us here, Lord. Be with me here, Lord. Keep me focused. One of the things we did yesterday that I talked to Pennsylvania Brett on my way home, and we had a little church service. I don't want to call it that. We had a little get together. Let me move this a little bit. I don't know if that's distracting to you guys or not. My background. We had a little bit of a we had a gathering, about 10, 12 people yesterday. And I spoke to them about the difference between power and authority. And those of you who've watched the show regularly know that we've talked about that before. But Brett said, man, the light bulb went off in the heads of several different people who were sitting here that they had never, ever thought about that. The difference between power and authority, right? See, I have the power. How do I say this in a way that makes sense? I have the power to come into your house and sit down on the couch and watch TV. I have the power to do that. If I'm stronger, if I have a gun, I have the power to do this, but I don't have the authority to do it. And what we see is happening to us all across America, folks, is we see that government in particular, although it's not just government, we see people are acting with power without authority, without authority. If you can go to, where is it when Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Remember, that is delegated power. Delegated authority. So our elected officials, whether they be your county commissioner, your local sheriff, your local city council member, the only power they have, folks, is delegated power. Delegated power, meaning that that power is only possible and effective if it comes from the ultimate authority. Now, in the United States of America, we, the people, are the authority. We are the see, we go to government and we go to government and we beg government to give us what they didn't have the right to have in the first place.
They have the power. How do I know that they have the power? Well, five limos could pull up in front of my driveway today. And they could come in and they could break into my house and they could search everything in my house. They could have a little search warrant. And that gives them the power to do it. It's not authority. They don't have the authority to do it. Why? Because I'm protected against illegal searches and seizures, Fourth and Fifth Amendment. And no government authority, oh, there's that word, no government authority can grant to somebody else the power to do something they don't have the authority to grant. A governor may have the power to lock you down and make you wear a mask. He may have the power. Well, what's the power? Well, he'll call the cops and they'll arrest you. Kroger's may have the power to tell you you can't come in their building. They may have the power to do that. They may put a manager at the door. They may do all kinds of things. But see, they don't have the authority. They don't have the rightful authority. So what the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, the First Amendment in particular, Spence, see how quick you are on your feet, man. See if you can pull that up for me real quick. The First Amendment to the Constitution. By the way, it's number one because it's for a reason. Number one for a reason. What does it say? Because it speaks. Oh, my goodness. I need 7 hours to. Hey, folks, if we get this, we have a chance. OK, now I can't pull it up on my screen because I'm back on my phone. But the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law. Now, let's stop right there, because right there is an issue of authority. Nobody has the authority to make a law except Congress. It's clearly spelled out. It went right to the authority figure. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay, stop.
Hey, Coach, I don't mean to cut you off, but guess what we were just doing just now when you were not in connection? That. Right there, that's exactly what I was talking about. I was sharing this, that our founding fathers got together. They didn't spitball these things out. I said, as Christ Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith, that opening sentence was the cornerstone of our law, the power of the church.
The power of church and religious free exercise of religious beliefs, folks. End of story, bang, it's over, see. It's over. But what's happened, see? What has happened? Well, courts have come in and they have seized undelegated authority. Folks, just because a court says that a woman has a right to kill a baby doesn't make it so. It doesn't make it so. Now, they have the power maybe to issue that judgment, but they don't have the authority to endorse it. Because why? We are one nation under God. So who is the authority? Who's the authority? Almighty God is the authority. And you don't have, the only way that you can overcome the authority of Almighty God is through raw power. It's the only way you can do it. And so when the founders said that Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, I'm just going to stop there for a minute, because I want you to stop and think about what that really entails. Let's do a little quiz here a minute. What are some things that you are being forced to do by the power of government that goes against your religious beliefs? Can anybody name anything? Because, hey, folks, if you don't get this, if we don't get this, then we're not going to understand it.
Getting the vaccine.
Take a vaccine. They have. Why? 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 Well, we can say my body, my choice. But no. Don't go there. Why? Why can't they tell you to take a vaccine? Folks, come on. You got to get this. Why?
Under Nuremberg.
Yeah, you're getting ahead of me. Now, Nuremberg's based on something else. Why can't they make you take a vaccine?
They don't have the authority.
Why?
Right.
Why?
Because God created our bodies. We are free. We are covenant over our own bodies with God. We have a right to our own body and what happens to it. We have an obligation.
But listen, you're still missing it. Folks, we're still missing it. If you don't get this, we're still missing it. You're right, Reggie. What you said's right. But why? Why?
Inalienable rights.
What, right? What does that mean? Come on, folks. It's right there in the first. It's right there in that sentence we just read. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion nor prohibiting free exercise thereof. What does the government, anybody in government anywhere, have the right to determine for you what free exercise of your faith looks like? Do they have any power at all over that?
Absolutely none. When it says
none,
that means
none.
Zero.
None, folks, none. Now listen, it involves more than vaccines. It involves more than social distancing. It involves more than that. Listen, I'm not going to go there, but I got to get you to wake up. Huh? Does the government have the power to come to you and confiscate taxes off you to teach ungodly things to your children in public schools? Randy, does the government have the power to do that? If it's free exercise of your faith, that is against my faith to give $1 to teach children about homosexuality. Does the government have the right to force you to do it? Come on, folks, think with me.
They have the power, but not the authority.
They have the power, but they do not have the authority, right? So listen, go back to Romans 13. Go to Romans 13, Spence. Pull that up there for me real quick. Silver, get your voice ready because I can't see my screen because I'm on my phone again, right? Come on now. Come on, folks. Come on, wake up. We got to get to – does the federal government have the right to force you to pay taxes to abort human beings? Do they have the power to do that? Do they have the authority to do that? Come on, I'm asking.
They have the power. They have the power, but they don't have the authority.
Why? Why don't they have the authority?
Not because of God.
They're not God.
Who's the
because it's God's.
It's in conflict. It's a conflict with God's law. That's why.
It's an authority. But listen, Dale, listen. It doesn't matter if everybody in the world says, yes, we need abortion. That we need abortion. If I stand up and say, my faith says no abortion, and I'm not giving any money to fund it, I'm not paying taxes anymore. Am I in the right? Is that free exercise of my faith? Come on, folks. This is simple. Is that free exercise of my faith? Yeah.
I'd say yes, Coach.
Yes, Coach.
We're brainwashed, aren't we? We're brainwashed. So everything that the devil is doing, he's using your money to do it. Did you see it?
And Coach.
We got our churches saying, well, you know, we got to be Christians. We got to obey the government. No, we don't. Folks, we are the government. That thing in Washington, D.C., that isn't the government. It's not the government. We are the government. Coach. Yeah, Bernie, go ahead, Bernie.
Hey, Coach. The real government is God, and we are under God's government. I found a reading the Ten Commandments, I noticed something. I hadn't thought about this because you're thinking about don't make graven image and stuff. But it says, Exodus 20, verse 5, thou shalt not bow down, neither serve them. So that's a direct command. Thou shalt not bow down.
There it is, brother. There it is.
That's a direct command. Thou shalt not bow down. I can't, because otherwise I'd be disobedient to God. God is over the government.
Bernie, freedom of religion. Folks, do you see this? Do you see this? Congress shall make no law. Can courts make law? Can the courts make an order that you have to pay to support a board? No, because courts don't make law. They don't have the authority to do it. Yes, they have the power. Yes, they can send the guys in the black limos. Yes, they can put handcuffs and put you in jail. Yes, they can do all that. But they don't have the authority. They are not the rightful authority. Now, hang on a minute. I got Romans 13 up there. I can't see it. So, Silver, read that to me. Come on, folks. Read it with Christian eyes. Read it with Christian eyes, not governmental eyes. Read it, Joe.
Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers.
Stop. What is that, Joe? What's that higher power?
Those government
officials.
Come on,
folks.
Those government officials are a person or a soul too, aren't they? They need to be subject to higher power.
That's exactly right. So if we say there's no God, then who becomes the higher power? Well, the government, the elected official. No. We're one nation under God. Continue this again, Joe. Come on now, folks, because all of our churches are misreading this. All of them are misreading this. Go ahead, Joe.
For there is no power but of God.
There it is. There's the authority, folks. There it is. And so anything else that violates the laws of God is what? It's, well, all laws, all governments, all people are under what they call delegated authority. Do you know why I have, I have liberty? I have liberty because I have the delegated authority from God, right? And he laid down certain things that we're supposed to do and not do, and we're under his authority. And we are his ambassadors. And he said, go ye into all the world and do what? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. So there it is. He says, you are now my authority. You're my ambassador. You're now my representatives. And I want you to do, I want you to take everything that I've given you and taught you, and I want you to go to teach others to do it. That is delegated authority. But the government comes in and says there's a separation between the church and state, so therefore God is out of the picture, and all you religious people, you go over and stand in that line, and you wait for your turn. We're now in charge, and we've decided that God is dead. There is no God anymore. So we are now the authority, and so therefore you have to obey us. And Pastor Tony Spell says, no, 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 you got it wrong. I don't have to obey you. I got to obey God. And they say, oh, no, 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 no. And Tony Perkins shows up and tells Pastor Tony Spell that, no, no, you got to obey the government. And so somewhere along the line, our church leaders lost the fact that all authority, not power, all authority emanates from God. All of it does. All of it. Government would have no power had not God granted it. And the only reason government has power is because God granted you delegated authority to rule and reign in the world. And
Amen.
You delegated authority to rule and reign in the world as long as you are under his authority. When you step outside the laws of God, you are no longer under his authority. You get, Am I making sense here?
Yes. Speaking as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ as Lord, our bodies and lives belong to him. He is the one who paid the ransom for us. So now we are a living sacrifice to him, not the government. The government didn't make any sacrifice for us. And they didn't ransom us.
Not only
he
that,
did.
My body, my choice is a lie. It's not your body. Because you've presented
right.
your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. You are a vehicle, a vessel through which the Holy Spirit runs. You are God. You died to yourself, Christian. You died to yourself. See, we don't have this mentality. We don't have it figured out yet. And the only reason they're able to pull this crap off, well,
it's because the church. Hey, Coach, the church has relinquished that. Because Jesus not only talked about the authority there, but in Matthew chapter 18 or 28, I think it's verse 18, he said, all power has been given unto me. So guess what? He doesn't just hold the authority. He holds all the power, too. And
yeah,
the
but his power comes from delegated authority. See, we have government who has usurped the power. Oh, man, I got so much I want to share. See, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. Now, stop. We think guns, knives, bombs. Folks, the root word of violence is violate. To go somewhere or do something that you don't have the right to do. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been violated. People have come in and taken authority that they don't have. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been violated. And those men who are violating the kingdom of God are taking it by force. You understand? Oh my God, I wish you could see it. They're taking it by force, not authority.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I see that Big Pharma has done a really good job of really manipulating the mind and the leadership in the churches. And look at how many doctors pay the salaries of the pastors. And so the pastors are afraid to do anything outside of Big Pharma. And I think that's a big reason why so many followed like blind sheep when they were told to shut down, is because Big Pharma has warped the minds.
Well,
we have put
science above God, folks. Don't you
exactly
see that? Science is above God.
Amen.
And we in the church, okay, but play. Are you guys sitting down? Are you sitting down? Spence, it says vaccine wolves. I can see it on my screen. I just can't play it. Folks, I saw this. I just, I don't even know what to say. I didn't even know what to say. Okay. This is what we're dealing with in the American church. All right. You're right, Debbie. They paid millions of dollars to these closed churches. Now watch this. This is about a 3-minute commercial of religious folks. All right. I put them in my notes up on my screen. Wolves. Remember John 10:10, the thief cometh but to kill, to steal and to destroy, and I've come but you might have life and have it more abundantly. That the thief, I told you over and over, the thief is not the devil. The thief is the hireling pastor, right? Okay, sit back, read and weep. Watch this. Go ahead.
Last spring, our lives were upended with the sudden onset of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Just at the time of the year in which we would usually gather as families and communities
to celebrate our most sacred and precious holy days,
Passover,
Easter,
Ramadan,
a global virus emerged that prevented us from drawing near to one another.
Now, a year later, we find ourselves in a new spring
with a renewed hope and the chance to heal thanks to a life-saving vaccine,
offering us a chance to come together once again.
However, this virus, which prevented us from coming together, can only be defeated by coming together
in practicing life-saving measures, such as
taking the vaccine,
wearing a mask,
and continuing to follow CDC guidance.
All of our holy books teach us the importance of loving thy neighbor.
By committing to get the vaccine, we are making the decision to love thy neighbor rather than letting fear and indifference continue to plague our nation.
Over the past year, we have suffered greatly.
Both the sickness of the virus and the sickness of our division.
The hope of the vaccine
is the opportunity to emerge from this pandemic and to come together again
with love
and care for all our neighbors.
For all our neighbors.
For all our neighbors.
Receiving the vaccine shows genuine concern for the health of others and care for keeping them safe.
So join us, neighbor,
in committing to receive the vaccine.
In committing to love thy neighbor.
So we can come together to worship in our communities and to celebrate and cooperate together as neighbors once again.
The multi-faith movement. Huh? Multi-faith movement. Unbelievable. Comment on that? Anybody? Come on in.
Yeah, that's under Agenda 30. All this, what they're talking about, is under Agenda 30. Starting with the pastors. False hirelings.
Well, yeah, Joe, and they have what? Their authority's government, right? Their authority's not God.
They're not multi-religion, multi-faith. They're one faith. It's Lucifer.
That's it, bro.
My comment is what I shared years ago, and I shared many times on this show. Love your neighbor as yourself. You have to understand what the meaning of the word neighbor is there. And it is a close relative who is nearby, such as a brother and sister in the body of Christ is in your assembly. Okay. But love your neighbor as yourself is not everybody around the world, but all of those people are taking the lie that everybody in the world is your neighbor and trying to apply that to the vaccine. And it starts with a lie. The premise begins with a lie.
So is an unborn baby your neighbor? Do you think those people we just saw on the screen, do you think they're pro-life? Do you think they're for little babies living? Well, of course not, right? No, they're not. They're not.
Coach.
Yes.
History repeats itself. Hitler went after the support of the pastors in Germany to keep the flock in control. And whatever the pastor said about Hitler, oh, he's a good man. He's bringing jobs. He's doing this and that. And he also was out there to try to do away with God's chosen people, the Jews. What more evil can it be?
It's pretty evil.
Yeah, Coach.
Go ahead.
Coach, we better stick with the Holy Ghost and the blood of the Lamb, Coach.
Hey, that left the building a long time ago. The blood of the Lamb, the Holy Ghost, they left with Elvis. Or Elvis left the building, they left as well.
Coach?
Yes.
Coach, what's coming next? Let me tell you, you're right on. We're seeing no Congress shall pass no law, Coach. This is a truth, a revelation coming back to us. Next, Coach, I'm going to tell you, 2023, Roe v. Wade is going to overturn. The next one going to overturn is the separation of church and state. Coach, it's coming. Just, you're right on it. We got to keep driving this home. This is what's coming. We are taking back our government. It's that simple.
That's right, Randy, because we have done, folks, listen, we are in the position that we're in right now today. Just look around you, because of the compromise of the church. The compromise of the church is what has got us in this mess. Now, I don't want to ride this horse too hard, okay? Because this is sensitive to all of us, to all of us. See, as a Christian man, my time on this earth is done, and I go stand before the Lord, and he asks me, Coach Dave, what did you do about the slaughter of unborn children when you were down there? And I said, well, Lord, you know, I went and held signs, and I raised up groups, and they went and held signs, and we protested about it, and we spoke against it. We got little pictures of babies, and we talked about it. Lord, I was really, really pro-life. The whole time I was pro-life. He said, oh, yeah. Hey, Coach, let me ask you something. Did you fund any of that baby killing? I said, well, no, no. I said, well, did you pay taxes? Well, yeah, I did. Well, did they use that money to kill babies? Well, yeah, they did, but I had to pay taxes. No, you didn't have to pay taxes. You didn't have to. You chose to. Why'd you choose to? Well, I chose to pay taxes because I was going to get in trouble if I didn't. Are you with me, friends? I'm not here telling you not to pay taxes. But see, we are being coerced through power to do things that violate our faith, which is, by the way, the First Amendment. Free exercise of my faith. I should be able to walk into any building and not have a mask on and say I'm not wearing a mask. It violates my right to free expression of my faith. End of story. Done. What happens? The wolves in sheep's clothing tell us, no, you have to obey the government. It's Christian to do it. Is it really? Can you find me one place in the scripture where it says it's Christian to lie? Mm. Can somebody show me where that's okay? To bear false witness against my neighbor, that's okay? Well, yeah, but it makes them feel better. Oh, really? Mm. So I'll tell my wife I'm loyal to her then and not be. I mean, it's about making people feel good, right? So this is what's happened. It's the whole idea of power and authority. Friends, with your authority, I hope you're looking at me, comes responsibility. And the burden of responsibility is very, very heavy. If you are obedient and fulfilling your duties and responsibilities, chances are very, very good you're going to have a lot of conflict in your life. Because most people are compromisers. Most people will not make a stand for what they know or believe to be right. Most people we've been bought into the whole idea of tolerance and diversity, and who are you to judge? And so Christianity has been watered down to the point where we as Christians now have our Christian leaders telling us to obey ungodly government. It's unbelievable. I know some of you want to get, I got more I want to
say. Come
on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
When you saw the multi-faith video, it just erupts me. I think about Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But the solid food is for the mature, so you can better their senses to find the difference between good and evil. They are still babes and got diapers. Their soul,
well,
they have
they
no clue.
But Jeff, not only are they doing that, people are sitting in there eating at their table. They're eating at their table. Hey, come on. Hey, listen. Larry, do I have to do it? Do I have to get right down to it? Huh? Some of you are still attending churches that closed down. Some of you are still attending churches that closed down. Because you said, well, our pastor's a good man. He just wanted to do the right thing. Well, he did the wrong thing. Hey, folks, he did the wrong thing.
Yeah, it's time to go on the offense, Coach.
If he did the wrong thing.
It's time to go on the offense.
If he did the wrong thing on a big thing, how do you trust him in little things?
That's right. Hey, Coach, what we're seeing is a spiritual coup is what has happened to the church. a spiritual coup that is that these people have taken, or they don't have the authority, but they have the power. It's a spiritual coup.
Bam.
That's right.
And Coach, when we're talking about offense, I pray that Pastor Tony's spell goes on offense and sues everybody. You're going to see it tomorrow night, Coach, in Dublin at that secret meeting with the parents. We're going on offense with the potential of bringing lawsuits in school districts in all 88 counties in Ohio. And folks, listen up. I hope you're looking at Coach Dave, but you're listening to me right now. Go on offense on your pastors and get out of those churches.
Amen.
Hey, Coach, if I can jump in here, when you think about that video that you played and what you very, very soft and subtle, sincerely wrong.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Coach. There is a much bigger reason that we understand what's going on with they're getting power. I mean, what Revelation 13:13, and you've got where the beast and one of his wounds were healed. He had a mortal head wound and it was healed. They get power from hurting us. They get power when people are in despair. They feed off of that energy. They feed off of these babies are all a sacrifice to their God to them. And if they can't mess us up internally, they'll mess us up externally. That this shot, all of this stuff is it's evil.
Well, so
it's an evil scheme.
Excuse me, at the root of it, friends, listen. Many people are being used by the devil and they don't even know it. See, that's what virtue signaling is all about. Virtue signaling is giving the appearance of righteousness when it's not righteous. That's virtue signaling. And what's happened to us inside the church is we don't even I'm talking about the church does not even recognize right from wrong anymore. Right? So the church would say, oh, yes, we're pro-life. We believe abortion is wrong, yet do nothing to stop it because they don't really believe it's wrong. See, they believe it's wrong for them, but who are they to judge? Who are they to tell somebody else? See, they bought into the party line, haven't they? And so we have people who go to church on Sunday who then are elected officials, and they're hearing lies on Sunday, and they go to church on Sunday, and then they go to work on Monday, and they serve the devil and don't even realize it. Yep. Am I making sense to anybody out there? See, they're not all just plain evil. They're deceived. They're deceived. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's deception. They've bought into the deception. And as soon as you begin to speak to them about the truth, then they scream and holler what? Separation between the church and state. Not allowed to talk about that here because there's a separation. And there isn't. I'm sorry, I can't get more of you in here. I can't see. Spencer, bring them in, if you will. Hey. I'm sure there's a bunch.
Coach. How often when we're out on the streets do we hear from the other side, stay in your four walls of your church. Don't come out here and bring your beliefs out here on the streets. Go back to your church where it counts. That's because they want to shut down the outreach, to wake up the people out there that don't go to church. So you just stay in your four walls.
That's right, man. They want us to stay inside the four walls. I got to show you this. I'm running out. I got to show you this. Spencer, click on Candace Keller's pedo picture. I saw this yesterday on Facebook. I couldn't believe it. Folks, they're right out in our face telling us what's going on. They're poking Christians right in the nose. Spencer, tell me when it's – oh, there it is. Enlarge that, friends. Let me get it up here. I can't get it up here. Folks, I don't know if you show this. Maybe somebody can help me because I have a hard time on my phone seeing it. It says love is love. And then from left to right, what does it show you? Can somebody who can see this, Joe, you can see it. Can you explain for those who can't see this picture what it says? It's a picture, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different couples standing. And the caption says love is love. And what does it show us there, Joe? Can you explain that to everybody?
The first pair is a pair of males.
Two males standing together.
Next pair is two females.
Love is love. All right.
Next pair is a male and a female.
That's like us, normal people. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
The next pair is denotes not race. So like white and black.
All right. Love is love. So far, I'm with them so far.
Not age. One could be a 10-year-old girl and a 36-year-old man.
What? And,
yes. And then the last one is not religion. A Christian girl with a Jewish man.
So they stuck right in the middle there, Joe? Pedophilia?
Yes.
Isn't that what it says, Joe? What's the age difference? It says not age? Not folks, do not you see age. Where they're taking us? Do you see where they're taking us? Oh, Lord, pray for the rapture. We'll be out of here soon. And we don't have to deal with any of this.
Coach, I need to say something because I got to go take my truck. But it's worse than just, you know, having vaccinated stations in your church. And I cannot remember the name of this coalition or this group, but pastors have actually signed up, probably the one that took money, to be like agents. Like if when it gets to the buses coming for you,
yep.
They have agreed to save their own life, they think, to tell their congregation, just get on the bus. They're going to help you. They're going to take you to the FEMA camps. It's going to be all right. You know, trust me.
And that's right.
If I could remember the name and several,
clergy response teams. Clergy.
That's it. That's yep. Exactly it. And, you know, people should ask their pastors, are you a part of that? Because if you are, don't walk to the door. You need to run to the door.
Debbie, and also they need to ask the pastor if he took any money from the government.
Did exactly. The church go to take your finance money? Committee. Look at the budget.
Hey, Randy, your hands up next, Randy. Okay, then Brian Cunningham. Okay, well then it's me and okay. Brian. Did you come in?
Yeah. Go ahead, Larry.
I just wanted to say this whole thing began with looking at the difference between authority and power. Well, I just want to let it. Alert everybody that from the Greek, the word most often translated as the word power is exousios. Sometimes it's dunamis, okay, but most time it's exousios. Now, from the Greek, the word most often translated as the word authority is the very same word. So anytime you're trying to differentiate the difference between authority as having permission and power as having ability, you need to go to the context of the scripture. And sometimes you have to go to the Holy Spirit to give you the difference of it, because from the Greek, they are just as confused as they are in the English.
So when I was growing up, I had three brothers, one younger than me, and had an older sister. And my two older brothers constantly beat up on me. I was the young one. They were older and they were stronger. I can't tell you the number of times my mother would get us in the room and she would say to my older brothers, are you ready? Might does not make right. My mom would say that over and over. Just because you're bigger and stronger doesn't mean you have the right to beat up on your little brother. Might does not make right. Hey, folks. That's the American government, isn't it? Might is making right. And everything that's going on, I'm coming back to the First Amendment, power and authority together, coming back to that First Amendment. All of you, all of us have sacrificed willingly, in duress, forfeited our God-given right to free expression of our faith. We have forfeited it, right? And because we forfeited it, friends, might is made right. Might is made right. That's where we are in America. Right isn't right anymore. Right is power, force. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been violated because violent men force their way in. It's not about guns and bullets. It's about power. Undelegated, illegal power. That's what we're facing. That's what we're facing, right? So we're living in a time where they're going to use that power. They are going to actually recruit those who are on our side to use their influence to force us to obey. Did you guys know this? And I got to run. Pastor Tony Spell himself told me that Tony Perkins, the Family Research Council, came to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, because that's where the guy runs it's from, Tony. Anyway, my brain. He came down there and he told him specifically, Tony Perkins told Tony Spell to obey the government. We'll say that again. Tony Perkins, in person, told Tony Spell to obey the government. That's where we are. Wolves in sheep clothing. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. See, it doesn't matter if they establish it, if you don't have free exercise of it. That's where we are. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.